Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new podcast episode. And I'm here with Christine Dwyer. I hope I said the name right.
Yep, you did.
Perfect. So how are you doing? How is it going with your training and everything?
Doing really good, especially now it's changed because of COVID. We've really had to review and set things up completely different in the fitness industry, both obviously in person and at home. People are just working out completely different. So we've had to change our course, change our mindset, and change how we're delivering fitness to people as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting, especially I remember in March, mid-March, when people really started doing online training, because basically in the whole world, the gyms were closed at least for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. I mean, Germany opened pretty quick with the gyms, especially where I live. Since May 11, I could train. But I know you Americans, it hit you very hard. So how was it for you to deal with all the people, and especially with Zoom calls, Zoom training and all that?
Yeah, it was completely different. I mean, initially when it first kind of came about, no one really knew what the severity of it was, as well as the impact. So personally for myself, I normally teach in a gym, and I will teach about 3 classes a week live, group fitness classes. And then additionally, my other business is the virtual business, working as an online coach, where I help line people up with virtual workouts using the company. It's an American company called Beachbody, which they're very well known for P90X, Insanity, Pio, Body Beast, all of those workouts. So I've kind of got two worlds, where I've got my in-person world working as a group fitness instructor for over 30 years, teaching in the gym. And then additionally, the at-home market and helping people align themselves up with nutrition and workouts with Beachbody On Demand. So that was how I've been running normally until COVID hit. We were away on vacation down in the Bahamas when it really started to close everything down. And so we just pretty much stayed there in the Bahamas, not really understanding what we were going to come back to. And how long things were going to be shut down, because obviously no one really understands this pandemic or even can predict what this pandemic is going to do for us. That while we were there, I was obviously not in the gym teaching because I was on vacation, but the gym did close down. And so I just kind of started to dabble with teaching my fitness classes, my group fitness classes, virtually through Zoom initially. But the quality on Zoom wasn't very good. So that's why I kind of invested and partnered with one of my close colleagues to create a virtual group fitness experience that was a lot more high quality, and expanded from there, obviously. But that's kind of how we moved through it.
Yeah, I mean, I always say whatever happens, people need to learn to adapt. And I see that especially in that time. And I don't know if that's a Western society thing, but I feel a lot of these people, they're having hard times to adapt, and they're too attached to things in the past sometimes. And sometimes you just have to adapt quick. You can't think for 2 months or whatever. Sometimes in one day, okay, you need to flip it and adapt. And that's what you do. And I really admire you for that. And yeah, I totally forget when I always watched your Instagram stories and the posts, that I always saw you there in the gym training and doing your kicks and handstand and all that. I totally forget, because I see you constantly now training either from home or wherever you do that. So you get used to it. But yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, you brought up a really good point. You know, that people really get set in their ways, and if things don't go the way that they're normally used to, they become paralyzed, or they really start to make a lot of excuses, or become really frustrated and kind of force the issue. And that's a really great point that you brought up, is that this is forcing us to broaden our mindset and to really start to think outside the box. And like yourself, you know, with our training, it has to adapt according to, first of all, where we are in our fitness journey, but also we can't stay in one lane. You really have to try to expand how you're working out and how you're fitting in your training and creating new habits and new structures of ways of doing things. Because again, this is something that we cannot know what's going to happen for the future. And I think it's actually, to me, and I'm a positive thinker, so I personally think it's a good thing. Because again, when people really get so focused on one way is the right way, that's where they don't have growth in their training. And, yep. You know, especially like with martial arts, which obviously that's what you're deep into. But as you know, with myself, I've done martial arts too, that once you start to really focus on training in one specific direction, that's where you start to create limitations for yourself. And I feel that this is a good way to expand people to try to open up and broaden how they're going to train in different ways, because I think it actually will help people grow even more.
Yes, so true. And that's why I really like what you do, because I think you help so many people, and people adapt to every situation. Because now, as you also said, nobody knows how it's going in the next. In America, I think it's always double up with the situation now, and that's really crazy. But it all opportunities now for me, for example, it was like this. I mean, I always offered people to learn the split and stretching, and some people used that, and I just did it from time to time because I also had a full schedule and didn't really focus on that. But in the Corona time, suddenly a lot of people hit me up and said, hey, can you help me learn the split and stretching and everything? So I get a lot of clients just because of that. Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
So how was your training then changed since this? I mean, prior to it, I don't really know how you were training. Were you training in, I don't know what you call it over there, but like a dojo or a studio? And have you had to take your training virtually and helping others as well?
Well, thank you that you asked me. You're one of the first people asking me questions on my podcast. I mean, my training is like this. I train 6 days a week, sometimes 6 days. So 3 days is just lifting or strength and conditioning. 3 days is martial arts. And when I train in a normal gym, like casual training, then it's just. And martial arts, of course, as you said, or whatever you want to call it. And since March 16, they closed it, and it was until May 11, then they opened up the normal gyms, and I was immediately training then there. But to your question, I trained at home, strength and conditioning training, or outside. I did sprints, I did pull-ups outside, martial arts, I did a lot of shadow boxing. I mean, I have a sandbag at home. I have a pull-up bar, resistance band, few kettlebells, few dumbbells, 11-pound medicine ball. So I have quite of equipment, and I also know how to use my body for training. And that was just the way I did it for 6 weeks.
Hmm. Yeah, you found a way.
There's no way we have to adapt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely not the best way to, especially for martial arts, to train 6 weeks just with shadow boxing or a little bit sandbag, because you need your partners also. But I just found a way. I use also my pads outside, and then I just wrap it around a tree, and then I kick there.
Yeah. Are you competing?
You know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Are you competing in martial arts and sparring?
Yes, I did 10 Taekwondo competitions, but in Taekwondo, and I won them all. But in Taekwondo, what I don't like these days is the new style of competing. A lot of people, they have that, you know, that vest, you know, with the body protection. And then when you kick it, there's like a sensor. And when you almost touch it, sometimes the computer jumps on it and you get a point. And then people figured out, oh, it's like a playing game. And then they don't really want to kick that hard or want that hard contact like in the old days, because my Taekwondo coach, he was in the first Olympic Games in 1988 in Seoul in South Korea, and in his time it was like really rough and brutal and going for the knockout. And these days I don't think a lot of Taekwondo fighters like that, and that's why I didn't compete anymore in Taekwondo. But then I switched over to kickboxing, and I had that 15 fights, and was also very good for me there, because I like the style more, being more aggressive and people trying to knock each other out.
Yeah. Nice.
And what about you? Because before we start into the beach body and whatever you do in your business, what is your background? How did you start training in general? Did you start training as a kid or in school for training background?
Are you referring to martial arts with Taekwondo?
In general, all your training, all your sports, what you did, whatever you did from kid to now.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I grew up in upstate New York, which was a country area. So, you know, people out of the United States, usually when they think of New York, they only think of New York City, but I was upstate where there's cows and lakes and all of that. So I grew up in the country, youngest of four girls and pretty much a tomboy. So I was always into sports for school because it was something to keep me out of home. I mean, we did not have a very good home life. We grew up very poor and it was not a very good home life, divorced parents and all. So we would really be a part of every activity that you could to pretty much be out of the home as much as you could. So I just did all athletics throughout high school, which was pretty much in high school, just competitive cheerleading and then track. So when I moved out of high school into college, I went to a medical college and they didn't have sports. So that's where I had to work because I had no money, that I was working as manager for the rec center for the college. And that's where I started to really get into formalized exercise, where, you know, I'd go down and work out on the Nordic track and all the weights and everything out there. But my career starting with group fitness started when I was in college. So I was the manager there and my boss at the time asked if I would go get certified and they would pay for it to teach group fitness because they wanted to start that for the college. And I had never ever taken any group fitness classes. And I was like, all right, fine. You're going to pay for it. I'll go do it. So that's how it all started. I started because they went and sent me to a certification. And then from there, I just always like to be the best at whatever I'm choosing to do. So I just started to study online videos that I could find, mostly at that time, because this was in the early 90s. The internet wasn't huge, that you really can't play video easily on the internet, that I would buy all these VHS tapes back then and try to study ESPN with Gilad and Denise Austin and Jen Miller. They used to have all these little workout videos or programming on there. So I would just study from all the greats who are out there that kind of set the wheels in motion for group fitness and try to replicate putting together workouts. And I had one girl that took my class 2 times a week, and that's how it starts. You know, I just consistently, that's it. And it just grew from there. I mean, my fitness career grew from there, of course, moving off into the gym setting. And over here, there's a gym chain called Gold's Gym. And that's where I pretty much started in upstate New York. And then, I mean, my career grew a lot more because it was a passion career for me. My main career was working in the hospital. I was an x-ray tech and mammographer and OR and all that stuff. That was my love. You know, I couldn't wait to get out of my medical career to go and do something in fitness. And I never expected or believed that fitness could be a full-time career. But it eventually came to, in the end, to be my full-time career. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to go deeper into my storyline, but that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, sure. We can definitely go into that. I mean, what I found out with these podcasts, people definitely like it when you go a little bit in the details. But as you also, as I also know, you also have a martial arts background in Taekwondo. When did that start? At what age did you decide, oh, you know what, I want to kick some people in the face?
Well, it started actually in college. So when I was in college, there was another classmate that was in the college too. He was teaching American Kenpo and he suggested that I do it. And so I started with American Kenpo with him and I only moved up, I think about 3 or 4 belt levels. But I remember when I first started taking it, how embarrassed I was because of the yelling. You know, people are always really intimidated to yell out when they're doing their movements or when at that time they're called katas for American Kenpo. And I remember I was so embarrassed by that. But then I just sat back and thought about it. Okay, here's a friend of mine who's teaching. He would be appreciative. And actually, it's a compliment to him for me to replicate what he's doing Because then that shows that he's actually teaching me better. So that's where I started to kind of get deeper into, you know, putting myself out there. But I will say that when we were doing American Kenpo, I was very nervous and not really into sparring because I really didn't know what to do. You know, I coming from my background, which is, again, cheerleading, where you learn all these routines, dance routines, and then moving into group fitness where you're teaching routines, I excel in the forms, in the routines. So when it came to sparring, that was an area that I was hesitant on because I didn't really know what to do. But I he ended up stopping teaching there in the college, and then that was it. I never really thought any more about martial arts until later in life. So that was early 90s. And then we moved to Texas, from New York to Texas in 2011, and we put my son in Taekwondo here. And he was four at the time, around four or so. And that's how it all started. So what we started to put my son in Taekwondo here because we really wanted him to socialize and to learn leadership and respect and systems, because he has processing disorder. And then when my daughter turned four, that's the age that they could start. Then she wanted to do it. And then once my daughter was in, the owners of the location, they know my background, they know I was in fitness, and they encouraged both my husband and I to join. So my husband did, mostly because of you, like what you said, where he liked the sparring and the combat sparring and all of that, to be aggressive. He hates the forms, but he joined, and I told the owners, all right, I'll do it, but don't pressure me to come a certain amount of time. I'm only doing it because I know I could do good. I know I could learn the forms easy. And so I got involved with it and moved through belts pretty quickly. And my entire family, we're all now first degree black belts, but I just really,
amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool for us all to be first degree black belts, but I moved through it. And of course my instructor, he's a master instructor. He knew what I was capable of and was prepping me through to become in competitions. He encouraged and wanted me to get my world champion belt or jacket up on the wall. And the age that I'm at, I mean, I'm 47 now, but that was, I don't know how many years ago. I want to get to do math here around, yeah, about 7-8 years ago is when I started. And so being in my 40s, and not many 40-year-old women are in the flexibility and athletic conditioning that I was, that I knew I could do great, you know, and especially I like to pay attention to detail. And I ask a lot of questions, and my master instructor was amazing at teaching. He was really amazing at teaching you to a level where you think you're perfecting what you have and that there's nothing more to learn on what you're doing. But then once you've kind of perfected what you're doing, he then released a new level of taking yourself up. And so you never really knew, you never felt like you were failing, but you never knew that there was always more to learn or perfect or to be better. So I was always working to be the best at it. And I would always improve and get to that top level. And then he would always release like a new level of taking me up a notch. So
that's,
I always appreciated that about him.
Best way. That's the best way to learn. And that's really awesome. And that's why you're so successful, because I think that helps you in all aspects in your life and also like in your business.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I definitely can see when I saw your kicks, because your kicks are amazing, and I knew, okay, wait, she definitely did some martial arts, because you don't have the standard, you know, when these fitness instructors, when they do that fitness boxing or fitness kickboxing.
Yes.
I can see on, it's not martial arts background. I mean, they do it because they learned how to do it, but it's not really the right way. But when you did the kicks, I knew, okay, she definitely has a background in martial arts. And also with your split, I was really fascinated.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I've always been able to do a straddle split or a middle split ever since I can remember being a kid. I had to teach myself the front splits when I was in ninth grade, but I've always been flexible laterally. But your point, it is a pet peeve of mine, actually, with fitness instructors, because I was just on YouTube now and I saw this kickboxing class, and you see these side kicks where their toe is higher than the heel. And it just annoys me because the fitness industry.
Same here.
it the fitness industry just gives permission that you can figure out anything and teach anyone anything without credentials. And so for me, I've always been known for really being a stickler with form and technique. And like I said, when my master instructor would teach me something, I really pay attention to the little details, even so much where I'm asking, okay, is your toe position like this, like this, like that? Because it really makes a huge difference in the application when you pay attention to the small details, and then it makes the big details a lot easier.
Yeah, 100%. I like that you focus a lot on details and everything. I'm the same when it comes to details and learning all the techniques. I'm a freak and I put in the 10,000 repetitions. I also did really 100 reps each set, so 10 sets. And then after 10 days, I was at the 10,000 repetition. That's how I did it, because that's the only way for me to get it in your brain. And that's why I want to ask you that. What do you think about these fitness courses and so-called expert when they, I mean, I get it that a fitness instructor, unless he or she does martial arts, they will not have the same level like a real martial artist, but at least they should learn the right technique when they teach it, when they do these courses.
Yeah, oh, I completely agree. And honestly, because of my background, so again, being a group fitness instructor and teaching a form of a cardio kickboxing class called Turbo Kick. So the creator of the format, her name is Shalene Johnson, and the workout is inspired by martial arts. So it has a bit of capoeira, and it has, of course, kicking styles in there, but also boxing too. It's not meant to be a rigid, like, mean, aggressive kickboxing class. And I started teaching Turbo Kick in 2000 and moved through her company, being the presenter, the master trainer, the one that certified people in that workout. The problem with it is that because I taught Turbo Kick for so many years, so again, what was it? I started in 2000, and then in 2011 is when I started Taekwondo. I've had 11 years of muscle memory built in where I to an 8-count beat. And you know, for martial arts, you're not doing it to music. So when I transitioned over to Taekwondo, there was a lot of a kind of muscle memory that I had to break because of all those years of doing it where I'm doing it to music and in that style. So for me, that was the biggest challenge. And now in the fitness industry, like I said before, realistically, anyone can take an even today an online course, and they then can go start teaching something. That's unfortunately
so true.
It's the industry. And so I can't look at it as it's a horrible thing, but for myself and just the way I carry myself is I always want to be the most credible one, because I'm the one responsible to teaching them and I want them to be safe, as well as I never want to doubt myself, that I want to stand firmly standing from a place teaching people that I know what I'm doing. And so I don't think everybody has that opinion. I mean, a lot of people just go out there with a lot of, I just want to go have fun. But I can't down the fitness industry for having that, because all in all, what's most important, especially when you're in a group fitness or just the fitness industry in general, is if you can get people to move, get them moving. Your biggest goal is to help them be safe. But the goal for group fitness is not to be a world champion or a martial artist. The goal is to get them moving. And so for the most part, yeah, it's like nails on a chalkboard when you see bad form, but the goal again is get people moving and having fun and sticking to it.
That's true. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's why, of course, people who really like martial arts, they will never participate in these courses, or you use an expert, because for example, in my gym where I train in the normal casual gym, on Fridays there's a Muay Thai course, and a good friend of mine, he teaches there, and he has over 20 years experience of martial arts, because he trains still on a regular basis in our other martial arts gym, and he has also a lot of fights. So when people like him train or teach people there in a gym, even though it's just a course, then it's different. At least the technique is right. So that's what I like about these courses. If you go to a course or to a class, then have maybe some experts. But I'm totally on your side when it comes to that. Maybe that's a little bit old school how we think, but I think that's the right way, because that industry is just getting people, but nobody really looks if they train right, so they don't injure themselves and all these things, and that's important.
Yeah, what I've noticed though, and I hear it throughout all the years, you know, with me teaching, as well as other people who really focus kind of in the same mindset like you and I, where form is important. And we know, I mean, again, people who really focus on that know that when you really focus on form first, that's where you get results faster. And it's not just always about preventing injury. It's really about getting results faster and being really credible and confident in your movement. That's most important with having great form and technique. But what I've discovered is that when participants or members find someone that really does focus on form and educating rather than just let's teach a new move, they gravitate towards that person, and people will be weeded out, and you're always going to have certain people like a personality for one reason or another. And for me, that's always just been something I appreciate, is when a member comes up to me after class and says, yeah, I really liked how you broke down the form and technique. Not every instructor does this, and it really helps me. I appreciate that, because it's not always about the fun factor. It's really, I think, about educating people about the human body, anatomy, how it moves, and how you can help it move more efficiently. I think that's always a goal too.
Yeah, 100%. And I like that you think that way. And I can honestly just tell you, a great coach from what I see. And when it comes to giving compliments, especially to training and sports, I'm very picky. So if somebody's not good, I say that. Some people even have problems because I said it, but I can't help myself. I have to say if somebody is not good. I mean, I don't drop it in the public in the comments and say, oh, you're bad. But if I notice that, then people think they're good, and then they text me, so I have to say that. And I can definitely say you're a great coach. And let's dive into the topic, the Beachbody, and maybe you can give people some advices on how to build an online course or a great online training and to get some clients.
Sure. So with what I do, it's different, because obviously with Beachbody, it's a network marketing business. And obviously, you know, there's multiple MLMs out there or other network marketing companies. And the reason why this company made sense for me is because it is my lifestyle. And I've never been a person, well, I should say I haven't been a person of quick fix, because I have gone majority of my life always trying to find the magic pill or the quick fix. But in the end, even standing from a fitness professional standpoint, it is always going to come down to the basic puzzle pieces that make your lifestyle, you know, a healthier lifestyle. So the reason I was a person that said I would never, ever do a network marketing company or a business, because I never wanted to be that slimy person that was trying to sell things out of my closet and roping my friends into these home parties. I never wanted to do that. And so when the opportunity was put in front of me, I said no, because the person that told me about it said I would be selling supplements to my group fitness class people. And I was like, I don't want to do that at all. That is disgusting. And so I said no to joining as a coach with the company Beachbody for that reason. And it wasn't until a year later when my mentor, actually Shalene Johnson, and my boss at the time, said I should do it. And she strongly stood behind it because she had done a lot of research on it. So that's where I opened my mind to it. And I realized that it's everything that I've been doing automatically as a fitness professional, someone who loves to help other people succeed, whether you get something out of it or not. That's always been the position I've been in. People will ask you all the time when they know you're a fitness professional, hey, how do I do this or that? Or I'm going on vacation. Can you help me do some exercise while I'm away on vacation? You're always going to get asked as a fitness professional how to do X, Y, and Z. And so for all the years that I've been, you know, growing a fitness business, I've always helped people because that feeds my heart. And so I've always stood from a place of service. And so when I finally looked at this in a correct position, I realized it was just a way for me to help a lot more people outside of the four walls of the room I'm teaching a class. And that's really what I had to depend on, is whoever I came across in the gym or that took my class, those are really the only people that I could help. But now we took off all the walls, and I can help people in different countries be able to find a way to improve their life through health and fitness, but also more importantly, I think, through community. Because when you connect with other like-minded people, you become more invested. And that's where you start to get hungrier yeah. to actually improve your life in multiple ways and not just for a short-term event or a quick fix. And so that's what I thrive on is I've built a business. I've built a multi seven-figure business as a coach doing this, helping people with their health and fitness goals, aligning them with community, accountability, but also teaching others how to do this too. I didn't have that background. I didn't have network marketing. As I said earlier, I was an X-ray tech and a group fitness instructor. That was my background. And I didn't have years of education in college that I just
You
learned.
Also don't get it in college. For people out there listening, that skill of learning how to do business, learning how to do network, you definitely don't really get it in college or in a university.
I agree. I mean, especially for myself, I mean, I went to a college for a specific skill. You know, it wasn't a general study college. It was specifically for X-ray. So I agree, though, that when you're going to college, it's old school, you know, where they're teaching you basic book methodology, especially for marketing, that this style of connecting with people and helping people move more towards their goals is something that you really have to learn by working with somebody who's already been in that path. And thankfully, as I said, one of my mentors is Shalene Johnson, but outside of her, I also invested some of the income that I was getting while I was growing my business back into my team and back into my business. Because I've always stood from that place of, it's not my success. If I'm getting the benefit, you know, these big checks of bonus money, I put it back into my team, and I actually hired other experts in network marketing to teach me and to teach my leaders how to lead others and how to create systems and really how to stand from a place of confidence leading other people to be able to know, how do you do this? Because this is hard to do, especially when you have a full-time job or kids and a lot of other obligations. Yeah. How do you add something on your plate that you see that there's the potential to make insane amount of success, whatever success means to you, but how do you fit that in? And that takes a structure. It takes having systems, and it does take having a mentor who can lead you. And in my opinion, sometimes to call you out on some of your excuses and to lead you in the direction that will take you towards success rather than a repeat of struggle.
Yeah, definitely. And also for the people out there listening, when they question themselves, maybe is network or business or selling, is that bad? Let me tell you one thing. Pretty much everything in the world is selling, whether you realize it or not. For example, if you have a date with somebody, you sell yourself, your picture or how you are. And if you want to coach or train somebody, it's the same. So pretty much everything has to do with sales and selling. So you better learn these skills.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And I always say that I've never sold anyone anything, because I don't. I don't stand from a place of, I'm going to sell someone something so I can make a buck. I will not sell someone something if it's not the right solution for them. It's really just defining, you know, what is their goals and what is the best system or next step for them to plug into to be able to move towards those goals. And sometimes the products that I have is not the solution for them. It might be something different.
Yeah. And what can you say to the people? Because you said to me, or you texted me, Beachbody is obviously not in Germany available. But what can you give the people if they still want to build an online business or an online training or help people, maybe some advices how they can do it different?
Yeah, there's always a way to be able to expand what you're passionate about. And the one way that I took, you know, outside of working for someone was to be a representative for a company. So the direction that I took with network marketing was something that, again, I was completely against initially, But I truly do believe in network marketing. So it doesn't matter which country you're in, there are plenty network marketing opportunities available in countries. So again, for Germany, I'm not really familiar with which one, but you just want to look at different network marketing opportunities and see, okay, what is their product line? What is their mission? What is kind of the overall feel and message? Obviously, just do your research. And the one that, if you were going to choose one to stand behind, in my opinion, is something where you're not trying to sell a product that you don't believe in or you don't use all the time. For me, this made sense because I promote working out, I promote eating healthy, and I promote doing things together as a community. And all of those options are a part of Beachbody because they've got obviously all the workout programming, all on demand, nutrition programming. So it's just a puzzle that made sense for me. And the products are what support someone. Now, outside of network marketing, the reason why I suggest network marketing, especially if you've never built a business for yourself, is because it's one of the easiest way for you to learn how to be an entrepreneur. To be an entrepreneur, you need to learn many different hats. You have to learn how to do social media marketing. You need to learn how to take pictures, how to take video, how to edit video, or even like editing a podcast. All of this stuff is training that you have to do to be able to grow through. And when you're in network marketing, you fortunately have someone helping you along the way, either the person you sign up with as a sponsor or the team, that there's already a system. And that's a way for you to gain experience, get credibility, and to increase income, learning how to grow yourself as an entrepreneur. Now, outside of network marketing, there's the alternative. There's multiple different ones. Another way is to become an affiliate for other companies. So an affiliate is kind of another easier way for you to make extra cash, but you're basically just promoting products from certain companies that you like, even on Amazon. So if you buy
a lot of people do on YouTube, then they have their links and somebody clicks on that and they get 10% or 20% off that.
Totally. That's it. So if you're already using these products, like I have a bunch of products that I'm constantly ordering on Amazon, I've signed up for their affiliate program because every time I'm using one of my resistance bands or using a shake powder or whatever that I'm using, people always ask me, hey, where do you get that? And then I just send them to my Amazon. And that's just a way for you to make money here and there. The negative with affiliate marketing is you only make money when someone buys something off of your link.
Yeah.
And the benefit, as I look at it with network marketing, is outside of just a sale, you also make money by the volume of your team doing products as well. So that's a different way of earning where you can go to sleep and you wake up making money because you don't need to sell something in network marketing. There's the big difference. The third option is like what you also talked about is creating something yourself and selling it online. That is possible. It's just a harder road because you still need to learn how to do social media marketing. How do you do the photography, video? How do you do Facebook ads? And the other challenging part about selling something individually for yourself is you now have to stand strongly up by an educational position because you now need to educate the market on the need and the desire of what you have to offer. And if you don't stand out as being different or unique than the dime a dozen out there, then what's the benefit? So when you're individually offering something that you independently have, your strongest success is going to be the people that already know, love, and follow you and wish that you had something that they're looking for. Those are going to be your initial people that are going to buy whatever you got. What's most important that you do, so say for instance, you want to offer how to increase your flexibility for higher, stronger kicks. Say you want to create a training program for that. You've already got a lot of people that are following you, asking you for tips and advice on that. So say, for instance, you put together this ebook that you want to sell people on. That's going to be who you first are going to go to, the ones that are already looking for it. What's most important is that when those people get it, that you capture testimonials, either before and afters or just even a comment of how their experience with your product is, because those testimonials are what's going to sell the people that don't know you and don't know the problem. Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be the biggest hurdle, I think, is the educational process of people that don't know you wanting your thing when they don't know the value of it. So that's why, you know, if you can align with a company, either as affiliate marketing or as a network marketing, it helps you grow faster because, for instance, in my example, Beachbody is already a household name. I don't need to educate people on a lot of the workout programming because they already know it. They're up late at night and they see it on the TV that it's an easier movement because they're looking for it. But then you are also your individual and people are going to want to be more invested in you because your interpretation is not going to be just selling someone something. You're going to put your personal experience on helping people have success through it as well.
Yeah, these are very strong and powerful words, and that's really amazing how you help people educate them. And I would say, just for the things you said, the third option, I would only do that if you already have plenty of money or if you already worked yourself up in some businesses or did network or whatever. Then that option is okay for people to do because they already have a brand or they already have money, and then you can launch. As a startup, what you said is the best, that the third option should be just a third option, creating your own brand, your own content, because it's very hard at the beginning.
Yeah, but I definitely wouldn't discount someone from doing that, though.
Well, sure, you can definitely can do it, but it takes more work and it's hard and a lot of money.
Yeah, as long as you like what you're saying, as long as you understand that is what it is, then you can move forward. It's that false sense where people think that it's not going to take money or it's not going to take hard work to do, I'm going to be a huge success. That's where failure can really come to play. So it's like a realization. You understand, okay, it's going to take investment. You know, I got to spend money to put out a website. I got to spend money for ads. I got to spend money for product and editing services and all of that. There's a lot of overhead when you're trying to do something for yourself, which I actually have done, like I told you earlier, with my other business partner. During these COVID times, we formed a new business called groupfitnesslive.com. And it has been a ton of man hours and money outputting where we're still not profitable because of that initial loss of putting out a product when a service that we had to invest in initially. We know it's going to eventually flip around, but we're in the red right now because you do need to put so much up front to get something off the ground and to build that member base as well. But we know it's going to keep growing, that we don't give up on it. But that's, I think, a realization that some people really need to be okay with, that you have to be okay with loss and the potential of loss. But if you really are passionate about it, like we're really passionate about this, we offer live workout classes every day, or about 35 plus a week. And we have a huge on-demand library of all these live instructors. So we have over 13 instructors teaching live classes. And we know that the demand is there. It's just getting the message out.
Yeah, it's definitely amazing. We live in a time where there's so much to do and with so many options. And as you also said, people should realize it takes a lot of time. So with my podcast, for example, I just started in January, but I did every day an episode. And I know it takes like 5 to 10 years until it's a big blow, like really, really big. But in that time, of course, you make progress and it gets bigger and bigger. But I know until then, it takes these 5 to 10 years. And I'm well aware of that. And that's totally fine for me because I just do it as a side hustle anyway. But I love the podcast, and yeah, I love having great people like you there on the podcast. So for everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. Do you have any last advices or last words you want to say, maybe?
No, I really appreciate you following me, first of all, but also connecting with me on a common ground and seeing that, you know, we have an opportunity to offer some motivation and direction for your followers. So I really appreciate that you saw that in me and asked for me to be a part of this.
Well, anytime, you're welcome. I really want to have you on that podcast because you're amazing and I really admire you. And I think people can definitely learn a lot from you. And yeah, I'm looking forward in the future what you do and how big you're going to be.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. So bye, everybody out there. Until next time.